In our last lesson, we moved into the 14th chapter of Proverbs, and we taught verses 2, 3, 4, and 7. Today, we'd like to begin with verse 1 of chapter 14. This verse says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." NIV says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down." This proverb is contrasting the wise woman with the foolish woman. To get the full force of the teaching here, we must assume that the wise woman is capable of having all of the qualities that the word wise carries with it. The word used here for wisdom, shohmah, C-H-O-H-M-A-H, means wisdom, knowledge, experience, intelligence, insight, and judgment. It is always used in the positive sense in the Bible. True wisdom always leads to reverence for the Lord. Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, but to depart from evil is understanding." Proverbs 2:1-6, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Without this reverence for the Lord, one will never have this kind of wisdom. Without this kind of wisdom, we will never know the true meaning of life. Proverbs 14:6 says, "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." The word wisdom is used to describe a broad range of human experience in the Bible. Embroidering, Exodus 28:3. Metalworking, Exodus 31:3-6. Military strategy, Isaiah 10:13. Diplomacy, Deuteronomy 34:9. Shrewdness, 2 Samuel 20:22, prudeness, Psalm 37:30, practical spirituality, Isaiah 33:6. This wisdom comes from God, Job 11:6. It's never to be found separate from God, Job 12:12-13. So as we think of a wise woman, this is a woman who can have all of the attributes of this kind of wisdom. A woman's place in society, which is primarily the home, is so exacting and demanding that she truly needs this kind of wisdom to be successful. It is by the wife that a family is multiplied and built up, and so society is replenished. The house that she built is her home. Her home, her husband's home, and her children's home. Until recently, the home was the center of family activities. The wife and the mother was the prime worker in all home activities. This was changed after the Industrial Revolution, when the living was no longer made at home. All meals were prepared and consumed at home. Cooking and washing dishes were done in the home. The food, for the most part, was grown and prepared by the family. Gardening, canning, milking, butchering, etc., and the wife was the very prominent mover in this. All medical care was given at home. Nursing home care, as we know it today, would be given at home. This medical care included everything from giving birth to caring for those who were on their deathbed. All education of the children was given at home. Reading, writing, arithmetic, science, social studies, and the study of the Bible. If education was given, it was given at home, and the bulk of it was the duty of the wife. Apprenticeship for a trade may have been taught by the father. The living was usually made at or in the vicinity of the home. Farmers would have their fields near their homes. Craftsmen or tradesmen would usually have their businesses located at the home. The whole family was involved in the making of the living, including the wife. All of the making of the clothing fell on the shoulders of the wife. Anything which required sewing skills, even the spinning and weaving of the cloth, this included garments, sheets, quilts, bedspreads, mattresses, tablecloths, curtains, etc. Most socializing was done in the home, which means that the wife had to have the house prepared for her frequent guests. This included overnight guests before the days of inns and hotels and motels. And this woman, in addition to all these other duties, performed all of the wifely duties that were owed to her husband. You can see her job was a major job. She had a major task to fulfill the duties of this woman. So the wise woman is one that is godly, industrious, considerate, loving, attractive to her husband, and deserving of love and respect by all her family. She is indispensable to her home. By her, the affairs of the family are made to prosper. The cupboards are filled and the debts are paid. All the loose ends of the family are attended to, such as remembering birthdays and anniversaries, communication with others on behalf of the family, having a good rapport with the neighbors, soothing wounded feelings, setting a good example no matter what, and decorating the house according to her good taste. She saw that provisions were made for every eventuality, that the children were well educated and maintained, that the family had comfort indoors and a good reputation without. This is the way the wise woman builded her house. Even today, even though our society has drastically changed, the wise woman will make her place in the home and assume the duties of wife and mother. These values and principles of home and family, with the wife and mother being the center of the family's interests and activities, must not be lost. The wise woman looks upon this house she has built as her own to take care of. Yet she knows it's her husband's to have the rule of. God first used this Hebrew word for woman, I-S-H-S-H-A-H, in Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." But many a family is in shambles and brought to ruin by a foolish woman or a foolish man. Verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." The word for foolish, I-V-V-E-L-E-T-H, means to be silly, or to have folly, or to be perverse, that is, deliberately continuing in what one knows to be wrong. A foolish woman may have no fear of God, which is the root of her problem. She may have no regard for her husband, which puts any home in danger. This foolish woman is willful and wasteful. She appears to have no concept of what her true duties and responsibilities are. She has an agenda which places the family as one of her lesser priorities. The home becomes a mere place for her to prepare herself for other endeavors and activities which are not associated with home responsibilities. It is primarily a place to visit while preparing to go somewhere else. The raising of children is left to babysitters, videotapes, television, school teachers, and coaches, or worse, the other kids in the neighborhood, or worse yet, the children turn to gangs as a substitute for the home. This foolish woman may abide in any woman to a greater or lesser degree. To whatever degree this foolishness is present, to that degree she is plucking her house down with her hands, according to the proverb. Let us all take note and free ourselves from having this disposition known here as the foolish woman. Because if a woman elects to be the ruin of her own house, as if she plucked it down with her own hands, even the husband himself, with all his care, is powerless to prevent it. So let's again read verse 1. "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." NIV says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." The next verse we want to take is verse 5.